Now, how long is all this going to last? Will there be a vaccine? What have we learned so far to help? And how are other countries faring? Will some countries be able to get back to normal earlier than others? Professor James McInerney is head of the School of Life Sciences at the University of Nottingham, and we've spoken to him on the programme a number of times before. James McInerney, good morning again.
Morning.
What more do we know now about the virus?
So, what more do we know about the virus? That's a very good question. It's incredibly consistent, really. In the do-nothing scenario, or if you were caught unawares, this virus has been remarkably consistent across countries all over the world. And so that's one thing that we know. And the second thing that we know is that countries can do things that that overcome the virus and that really sort of limit its effect. And there's some very, very good examples of countries that have been able to do these things. And I guess the challenge is for the other countries to step up and be able to do those as well.
Do we know any more? You said that the virus has behaved consistently. Do we know any more about how infective it is, how long it lasts? Because there was a lot of confusion in the beginning about asymptomatic carriers, about how long you need to be infected or how long you need to have the virus before you're infective. Are we clearer now about the timeline of the virus?
Okay, the timeline of the virus fairly clear. There's about 2 weeks from beginning to end, and so that's fairly clear. The thing that's really not clear at all is the number of people that get the virus and that are asymptomatic, and we seem to be no further down the road in really understanding that number yet. And the only way we would ever know that is by randomly testing populations and testing them extensively. And very few countries have actually been able to do that. But there's good evidence that a lot of people are asymptomatic, or at least that they're not turning up to the medical professions in their various countries. And so that's probably the big unknown yet, is the exact percentage that show little or no symptoms.
You mentioned about the response of different countries. We're about 3 months into this now to some extent and being able to look at the way different countries have reacted. It's a very early stage for many countries. What have we learned from the countries that have got it right, or at least have dealt with it better than others?
Well, I think that the big thing that has happened around the world is the level of denialism. And that's varied a lot from country to country. And what I mean by that is that some countries are still living in denial and treating it as though it's no worse than the flu, and some other countries really have responded and said that there really is a challenge here and have stepped up to it. And I mean, you've probably got two very good examples side by side between Ireland and the UK, where there's quite a strong level of denialism both in the media and among politicians. Whereas in Ireland, people have gotten on with it, they've understood early, they've responded pretty early to the whole thing. And I think you're seeing that difference even in terms of healthcare outcomes. But denialism is really quite strong, I think, in places. You know, it's weakening in the UK, but it's still really quite strong in some parts of the United States, and in Australia, I think, it's really quite strong as well. But in countries where it's not, you look at Singapore, South Korea, Ireland is a very, very good example where they recognized the danger early and they got on with things.
You mentioned when we spoke to you some time ago that you were very worried about what was going to happen in Britain. Have your concerns in any way been allayed by the moves that have been taken in recent days?
So the moves were a good idea. I mean, it took a long time to convince politicians to say things and to do things. They pretended that the science had changed, but the science had not changed. The science was very, very clear, even as far back as January, what would happen if there was no action taken. But it took them a while to get on board. They talked about this, you know, allowing the virus to run through the population, and of course that was a terrible, terrible idea, and they've finally gotten around to changing things. We're kind of in lockdown here, the streets are pretty empty, public transport is still running, but the last 3 days have seen an increase in cases and fatalities that is lower than we expected. So it's quite likely that we're seeing the start of some slowdown, whether it's strong enough to bring the numbers down. We have to wait at least another week or 10 days to know that.
The search for a vaccine and an end to all this, where are we?
So right at the very beginning, we had the genetic sequence of this virus. And so that became public knowledge way back in January. And from that, you could start to look at things. In order to make a vaccine, you have to take a part of the virus, or else you have a killed virus, but usually you take a part of the virus that you think the immune system will respond to quite strongly. So we could use computational methods now. It's really quite sort of a modern way of doing things to figure out which parts of the virus might elicit a very strong immune response. So there were about 50 different potential candidates for that. That's been narrowed down. There are at least two vaccine trials that have gone into humans already at this stage, at least two that I know. There are about five, I think, that are fairly advanced. There's a few more that are ready to go into human stage one clinical trial, if you like. They're going to run clinical trials in parallel to speed things up, but the regulatory part will be just as slow and as careful. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get a vaccine that has two properties. One property is that it actually works, that it's not a dud, that it really does sort of produce a good immune response and long-lived immunity in people. And the second thing is that it's safe and that it has no side effects. So the regulatory process will be quite extensive in there. But I think the thing to say is it's months away from a vaccine. This current wave will be largely finished by the time the vaccine comes online. And the vaccine will really be about protecting ourselves into the future and having ways of dealing with if new strains arise, okay, being able to deal with that. But the vaccine is really something we'll say that will protect us in the long term, as opposed to being useful to us next week or the week after. It simply won't be there.
James, thanks for talking to us again. It's Professor James McInerney, Head of the School of Life Sciences at the University of Nottingham.